contrary to what our good friends, the Jehovah's false witnesses, tell us, that these are not Jehovah witnesses, that these are Jewish, and it, because we're going to look at it and see that we see that they come from the tribes of Israel. These are Jewish evangelists that will be spreading out throughout the earth, sharing the gospel. We see that there will be two witnesses in the book of Revelation. There's a lot of controversy as to who they are. We talked about it last week. Some people say that it's Elijah and Enoch. Some people say that it's Elijah and Moses. And there are other submissions as to who these individuals are. But there'll be two witnesses that will testify during the tribulation.
Welcome to Encouraged in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of the fifth seal. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the fifth seal.
He was thrown into a cauldron of boiling oil. And so he did face martyrdom. They thought that that would kill him, but it didn't. You know, God miraculously spared his life from that boiling pot of oil. And so John, after that, he was sentenced to the mines on the prisons of the island of Patmos, where he wrote, all right, where he wrote the book of Revelation, right? Some say that he was later freed and returned to serve as bishop in Edessa in modern day Turkey, that he died as an old man. He was the only apostle to die peacefully. And you remember, Peter asked Jesus after Jesus rose from the dead, what about this man? You know, how he should die. And you remember what Jesus told Peter? Peter, don't worry about it. You worry about yourself. But one of the things that they were saying is that, you know, John would not face the death that the other apostles faced. What about Peter? You know, we should all memorize this one right here. And that is, Peter was crucified upside down because he said that he wasn't worthy to die the same way that Jesus died. You know, Jesus was crucified, you know, on a cross, and they were going to crucify Peter. And Peter said, well, don't crucify me the same way that you crucified Christ. He said, I'm not worthy to be crucified in the same manner that Christ was crucified. What about James the Just? He was the leader of the church in Jerusalem. He was thrown over 100 feet down from the southeast pinnacle of the temple when he refused to deny his faith. Remember, Satan took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple and told him to jump off. He said, your angels will watch over you. And what did Jesus do? Jesus quoted the word of God. He said, you know, we can't act foolishly. Jude, as we look at how he died, the brother of Jesus, he was killed with arrows when he refused to deny his faith in Christ. James the Just, or we looked at him, James the Greater, he was one of the sons of Zebedee, was a fisherman by trade when Jesus called him to a lifetime of ministry. As a strong leader of the church, James was ultimately beheaded in Jerusalem. Okay, the Roman officer who guarded James watched amazed as James defended his faith at his trial. Later, the officer walked beside James to the place of execution. Overcome by the conviction, he declared his new faith to the judge and knelt beside James to accept beheading as a Christian. What a powerful testimony that James held on to his faith, and that he was a witness to this guard, and that this guard gave his life to Christ and was beheaded along with James. What about Bartholomew, also known as Nathanael? He was a missionary to Asia. He witnessed to our Lord in present-day Turkey. Bartholomew was murdered for preaching in Armenia when he was flayed to death with a whip. Wow. That they beat him to death. Now, you think about Jesus. You know, Jesus was beaten, but they didn't beat him to death. You think about the Apostle Paul. He said he had 39 stripes, right? They beat Paul, but they didn't beat Paul to death because Paul kept living. But here they beat him with a whip and they beat him to death as a martyr for Jesus Christ. Andrew was crucified on a X-shaped cross in Greece. After being whipped severely by 7 soldiers, they tied his body to the cross with cords to prolong his agony. His followers reported when he was led toward the cross, Andrew saluted it in these words, "I have a long desire and expected this happy hour. The cross has been consecrated by the body of Christ hanging on it." He continued to preach to his tormentors for 2 days until he died, until he expired. Wow, man, you know, just think, you know, these guys were faithful unto death. And so again, you know, we look back at Revelation chapter 6 and we see that people during the tribulation are going to be martyred. What about Thomas? Thomas was stabbed with a spear in India during one of his missionary trips. Jude, we looked at him. Matthias, he was the one that took Judas' place. The apostle chosen to replace the traitor Judas, he was stoned and then he was beheaded. Barnabas, who again wasn't an apostle, but was a companion of the apostle Paul, he was one of the 70 who wrote the epistle of Barnabas. He preached throughout Italy and Cyprus. Barnabas was stoned to death at Salonica. And then we see the apostle Paul, which Paul, he wasn't one of the 12. But, you know, now this is my personal belief. Some people don't believe this. Some people might not agree with this. That I believe that when the disciples chose Matthias to take Judas's place, I believe that they should have just waited. Because I believe that the Judas replacement was the Apostle Paul. That Paul became the 12th apostle. Now, you know, what was the requirements for apostle? Apostle had to be taught by Christ. Apostle had to have seen the risen Christ, and the apostle had to be called by Christ. Well, you look at the apostle Paul. He meets all those criteria, right? He was called by Christ on the Damascus Road. He was taught by Christ, and some people believe that when he was out in the Arabian desert, that was Christ that taught him. And then he seen the risen Christ, right? Because he saw the risen Christ. So many people believe that Paul was that 12th apostle. Paul was tortured and then beheaded by the evil Emperor Nero in Rome in AD 67. Paul endured a lengthy imprisonment, which allowed him to write many epistles to the church he had formed throughout the Roman Empire. These letters, which taught many of the fundamental doctrines of Christianity, they form a large portion of the New Testament. And you might remember Paul's swan song is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And Paul says this, writing from a Roman prison, realizing that he's getting ready to be beheaded. Realizing that he's getting ready to die. Paul says this. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered." You know, that's the whole concept of the drink offering, to be poured out, right? I'm ready to be poured out. "For the time of my departure is at hand." You know, the idea here is a boat that's docked to the docks, and you know, you're getting ready to untie the boat and let the boat sail off into the horizon of the sea. Paul says, my departure is at hand. The time for me to leave this place is come. And he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, again, just think about when Paul wrote this. He wrote this shortly before he was martyred. And so according to tradition, Paul was beheaded. And so we see that, you know, these individuals face great martyrdom. And, you know, we thank God that, you know, we can still proclaim the gospel and we can still share the gospel. And we don't have to worry about like the apostles did, or we don't have to worry about like the saints in Revelation 6 did, dealing with this martyrdom. But again, what I'm saying, here in the United States, you know, we are experiencing a relative degree of freedom as far as the gospel is concerned. But again, those freedoms are becoming more and more and more constricted. And so that's why, you know, we need to pray for our elected officials and pray that, you know, they would not begin persecuting the church by laws that they establish and by things that they put in place. So we see here, these apostles had been martyred, you know, for the sake of Christ. Now, what should we learn from Christian martyrs? And I gave you a whole article on that. And so, you know, you can read that in its entirety. But what should we learn from Christian martyrs? First of all, Christian martyrs teach us that we can stand for God no matter the circumstances. Millions of people throughout history have willingly died for their faith. If they can do it, then why can't we? Now, that doesn't mean that doesn't mean that we should seek out suffering or death for Christ, but it does mean if we are presented with the choice of die or deny Christ, we should be bold enough to cling to Christ. You know, it's one thing, you know, for us to say what we're going to do, but it's another thing when it actually comes time to do it. Our love for God should take us as far as God's love took Christ. Where did it take Christ? It took him to the cross, right? Jesus, we read about all these disciples that were persecuted and that were martyred. We see that Jesus prepared his disciples for persecution. He said, whoever acknowledged me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Martyrs show us what it looks like to stand firm in not denying Jesus. What's another lesson that we can learn from martyrs? Martyrs teach us that we will receive a reward for standing for our faith. This lets us know that in Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6, he said, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshiped the beast or its image and had not received the mark on their foreheads or in their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This lets us know that we will rule and reign with Christ, that we will receive a reward. As a matter of fact, let me flip back and remind you in Matthew chapter 5, it says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all, this is Matthew 5, 11 and 12, Matthew 5, 11 and 12, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. So Jesus said that those who are persecuted will have a great reward. So, you know, somebody might say, well, you know what, that's not too much consolation when you're in the midst of persecution. But again, let me remind you that Paul said that this light affliction lasts only for a moment. You know, just think about the worst thing that you've been through in your life. You know, maybe it was an illness. Maybe, you know, maybe you came through an illness and God healed you, right? Or, you know, maybe there was something that came upon you that terrified you, right? And just think about how long that you stayed in it. You know, maybe you stayed in it for a while and you thought that, man, you know, this thing is never going to end. But now look, you on the other side of it. You know, you the things that you worried about last year, you might not be worried about right now, right? So that's all behind you. So just think, you know, one day when you get to heaven and you're enjoying the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore, you're enjoying worshiping the Lord, just think of how, you know, whatever that light affliction was, it was only for a moment. You know, that's past now. And you are on the other side. You know, I've heard the song, right? The other side of through. That you are on the other side of through. You made it. And so that light affliction. And so, you know, just think about all those who were martyred, all those apostles who were martyred for Christ. Just think of where they are now. And it was their light affliction, whether they were stoned, whether they were beheaded, whether they were whipped to death, whether they were thrown in oil, whatever the case might be, that light affliction is now over. And so when we think about the martyrs, you know, what lessons can we learn? We can learn that no matter what, we can stand for Christ. We know that we will receive a reward. And seemed like I want to hit my desk the last time. That's when my screen went off. See? Went off again. Let me hold on, Saints. Let me fire it back up. See,
Pastor. It's still
is
up.
Is it still up? Okay.
Yep.
Well, I can't see it. So I'll keep talking. You talk to me, Naomi.
It's still up.
Okay. All right. Well, I can't see it. So I'm gonna keep rolling. But it shows us that the Bible is true. It shows us that the Bible, you're gonna say, well, how in the world do you get that? How in the world do you get that the Bible is true by martyrdom? Notice this, the writers of the Bible, who most of them were martyred, held to the truth of Jesus' resurrection to the very end. If that stuff wasn't true, if all that was not true, why did these men die for it? They held to the truth and died for it. The people that wrote the Bible died for it. So that should speak, you know, to us, especially when we think about the Word of God and how that it was written with the blood of the saints, and that they believed it to death. And, you know, somebody said that, you know, Jesus must have rose from the dead. And, you know, there are many reasons why Jesus rose from the dead. But one of the reasons that we know that Jesus rose from the dead, why would the disciples die for a lie? Why would they become martyred for a lie? All right. Let me, because I need to see these other points that I'm going to be sharing. All right. So let me do this, so I can get back to it. All right. We good there, Naomi?
We're good.
All right. Okay. All right. So what can we do for persecuted Christians? Because there's still Christians that's being persecuted around the world today. If you receive the publication Voice of the Martyrs, you know that in China, in a lot of Muslim countries, man, Christians are being persecuted left and right. I know Mark and Cynthia Corbin, I think it's this week that they are serving with the Voice of the Martyrs. And so they are actually spending some time with this group. It may be this week or they might have already went, but I know they were going on two missions trips. And I know one of them was to the Voice of the Martyrs. But we can pray for protection for those who are experiencing active persecution. And just say, Lord, you have warned me through your son Jesus that those who follow him may be oppressed and abused because of their faith. I pray for all those experiencing this type of persecution. You are a protector and a provider for all those that follow you. Please be present for those that are in danger. Please protect and uphold them by your righteous right hand. You can pray for provision of resources. Father, I know that you have the ability and authority to give whatever I ask in Jesus' name. I intercede for my brothers and sisters that are prevented from accessing food, money, Bibles, and other resources. May they see you as the God who provides. Show them an increase of your grace and supply for all their needs so they may be strengthened to endure. Pray for those that are in prison, because there's a lot of Christians that are in prison around the world for their faith. God, you are near to the lonely and to those being in prison for their faith. Thank you for their strength and their courage. As Paul knew, they know that despite their current reality, you are using all things to advance your kingdom and are leading them into an inheritance that will never fade or spoil. Lord, have mercy. Give them courage to remain faithful to you and be ever present in the time of trouble. And so these are some prayers that we can pray for those who are being persecuted around the world. Now, we know that as we read Revelation and the seventh seal is open, that will unveil the martyrdom of the saints. And so as I conclude, let me just read that again. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren, that they should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And here again, they were on the other side of their martyrdom, but there still were brothers and sisters on this earth that were facing martyrdom. And so God gave them a white robe and he told them to rest. And remember in Revelation 20, it said that they were rewarded for their martyrdom. So that's the fifth seal as we look at the tribulation. That's the fifth seal. So
thank you for joining us today on In Kirk and Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of the sixth seal. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Fifth Seal, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Fifth Seal. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Fifth Seal from our Bible Prophecy Series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to bust in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.